I think this is a really fascinating.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the January 13th meeting of the Madison Landmarks Commission of 2025. I'm going to
Love
hand it
that.
over to Lauren to
Exactly.
talk us through some processes
After.
and procedures for tonight's meeting. Lauren.
Great. Landmarks Commission members, please use video if you're able so we can ensure we have quorum. If you wish to speak, remember to use the raise hand feature. Also, use the raise hand feature to make a motion or second. Voting will be considered unanimous. However, if you object to a unanimous vote, please use the raise hand feature when the chair asks for objections and a roll call vote will be taken. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. You will have 3 minutes to speak, and staff will tell you when your time is up. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours.
You, Lauren. First up, I have approval of the meeting minutes from December 9th, 2024.
You can move.
Second.
Excellent. I will assume unanimous consent unless I see otherwise. Excellent. Thank you. Now we'll move on to the public comment portion of our agenda. This is the portion of the agenda that is for members of the public to comment on items that are not on our current agenda. But we have no one registered for that item, so I will move on to disclosures and recusals. Does anybody, members of the body, have any required disclosures or recusals they should make under the city's ethics code? Jacob.
I will disclose that the building up for the consideration for the National Landmark property is a building that was done by our firm, but it was 100 years ago. And then for the sign on the Irwin building, which I think is on the consent agenda, I would recuse myself because I've designed the building.
Anyone else for disclosures or recusals? Seeing none, it is the practice of the Madison Landmarks Commission to approve a consent agenda. This includes items that are removed from the agenda to be voted on as a group on which staff believes an application has had sufficient review towards approval with all of the conditions placed upon it. The applicant accepts those conditions, and there are no individuals who are registered to speak in opposition to the item. The consent agenda is addressed at the beginning of the meeting to allow the agenda item or to allow applicants and the registrants to leave the meeting unless a member of the commission requests separation. And then that agenda item is placed back on the agenda and reviewed as part of the regular course of business. The following items have been proposed for consent agenda, and I believe it's just the one. It is agenda item number 3, Legistar file 86589, 838 Williamson Street, exterior alteration for signage. Jacob has already recused himself, but do any commissioners request separation of this project? Seeing none, do I have a motion on the consent agenda?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second? Thank you, Molly. I will assume unanimous consent on this, noting Jacob's recusal, and we will move on to our regular agenda items. First up, agenda item number 2. This is Legistar file 86352, 85. Sorry, can't read today. 857 South Shore Drive, exterior alteration to a designated Madison landmark. Heather, may I send in this over back to you to talk us through?
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay. Up on the screen, I have a relatively recent Google Street View of the property in question. Okay, so for history of the property, this property was designated a City of Madison landmark in 1995 for its architectural significance. It was constructed in 1937. and it is a Moto home. Moto homes, they're an early type of modular home. The company existed for just the 1930s, and this was actually one of the last few that was constructed. This, with that, these were mostly seen on the East Coast. This is the only known Moto home in Wisconsin. For the proposed work, the proposal is to add three new windows to the front facade. So I've got a side-by-side here of, on the left-hand side, we've got how it currently looks, and on the right-hand side for what is proposed. So the new windows would replicate the appearance of the other windows, and we would have one additional one on the right-hand side and two additional on the left-hand side. So with the application materials, the applicant is making the justification in part that Moto homes had a variety of window configurations. Some of them had the windows in the corners. Some of them had windows sort of throughout, and including a band of windows, a ribbon band. And these are an international style of architecture. It's known as the international style. And one of the character defining features for international style houses, in addition to corner windows, are ribbon windows, and that introducing these windows along the front would be in keeping with the international style. Also, the application materials make the argument that there's already been some alterations to the building, including the introduction of a new door onto the side and the modification of the garage to residential by taking out the garage door and putting a sliding glass door. I will say those alterations happened before this became a designated landmark. But for going into the American Moto Homes book for the designs, which is free and up on the internet, and it's worth flipping through. But one of the things talks about the windows, that most of these windows are located at the corners, and they make the argument, just says, in most cases, the windows are located in the corners of rooms to allow for much greater flexibility and arrangement of the furniture. Now, the applicant is making the argument that most of the lakefront homes, and this does front the lake and look out on the lake, have a lot more windows out on the front, and that it would be preferable to be able to, instead of having more spaces to configure your furniture on the inside, but to be able to look out on the lake from that second story more so than just from the corner. So for applicable standards, there's more detailed discussion in the staff report, but the one standard that my interpretation is not being met is the Secretary of the Interior Standard number 3, which talks about that changes that create a false sense of historical development, such as adding conjectural features or elements from other historic properties, will not be undertaken. And we've had previous precedent with proposals like this. It's probably been, I can't remember if it's been 5 or 6 years at this point, where we had a four-square building that didn't have a dormer on the front, and the person wanted to add a dormer, saying that other four squares had dormers, and they wanted a dormer on the front, like other four squares. And Landmarks Commission denied the application, saying that while other four squares did have them, that would be introducing a conjectural feature on the front of the building. And this building did not have a dormer on the front. And so with this would be adding a conjectural feature on the front of the building. And the front facade is the primary facade. So with that, staff recommendation is that the standards for granting a certificate of appropriateness are not met. I recommend the Landmarks Commission to deny the project as proposed.
Thank you, Heather. Sorry, I'm having issues with my mouse. Does anyone have any questions for Heather? Otherwise, I will move on to our applicants.
I have a question. Heather, were windows, ribbon windows, I think as you put it, available in with Moto homes, or was it just these corner windows?
So it wasn't just... It wasn't just the corner windows. So there were some standard designs, but then with the way these were designed, they have a steel frame structure. And then each of the panels could either have one of the wall panels without windows, or a panel that had windows. And so there were some standard designs that a lot of them had the corner windows, but you didn't have to keep it that way. And that was part of the benefits of it being a modular home. If you wanted to have additional windows, you could request additional windows.
So this particular home could have been equipped, ordered with additional windows per the applicant's application.
Yes.
Thank you.
Seeing none, we have one person registered in support wishing to speak. Sindhu, who I think is here. I think I see them.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm turning on my video.
You actually aren't allowed to turn your video on, just as a heads up.
Okay, I didn't know that. Okay.
No worries. The floor is yours. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I will just say one correction. The home already has windows that aren't corner windows. The entire front of the house on the first floor is all non-corner windows. In fact, there's only one corner window on the front facade of it. Just historically, we've owned this house since 2001. I know the guy, Nick Laniello, who put on the National Historic Register. And in terms of the Ernest T. Eggemann house, they actually had quite more windows than what was typical if you even look at the East Coast designs. And that's primarily because the house is on a lake and the front facade actually faces the lake, which I'm not sure that everybody's clear that it's on 857 South Shore Drive, which is on Monona Bay. So our front yard is our backyard because that is how we see the lake. I would like to point out too, right now and for a very long time, even when Nick had it, it was a rental property. We use it sort of as a residence and a rental property because we go back and forth between California and Madison. But every time we have put it on the market to have it sold, everybody just wants to tear it down and build up a new house because it is on the lake. So one of the reasons I'm asking for these three windows, the main issue is the master bedroom window could have a view of the Capitol and the lake, but it doesn't. And that's on the garage side. If you are, I don't know if you could bring up the picture, or somebody could bring up the picture so everybody can see the house and what we're proposing. So it's really more of a master bedroom, and the other windows are just trying to make it align with how the other windows are proposed. So if you see the where it's showing the two red arrows going down, that's the master bedroom side. And I think anybody who's going to want to spend this much money on a lake is going to want to have decent views from their master bedroom. And we already got the feedback from all the real estate agents. We put it on the market twice. The other main issue that Heather didn't bring to the table is it is deteriorating badly, like not just the windows, but the panels are deteriorating badly. So if we put windows up, it would help us not have to replace these panels that are asbestos panels as it is. Now, if you look to the right of the house, we actually own the house next door to it. And I've had this house since 2001, and it's been really, really hard to get these panels not to deteriorate. We've tried that, and we've tried that with the windows. And so I just want to say that we've tried to do the best. I've talked to the previous city person. I've talked to the Historical Society. I've talked to the Historical Society at the City of Madison. The University of Wisconsin, and we've really done our best to keep it in its original condition. It is not just the only motorhome in Wisconsin. It is the only motorhome in this almost natural state because it's been a rental property. So it hasn't had a lot done to it. So I'm not here to say we should tear down the place. I'm not here to say that we shouldn't. In fact, I think I'm the best person to make sure it stays in this great condition after, I don't know, it was built in 1935 and it's had still the original windows. So I'll just say that because I think we have to say, if it's not us, who's gonna really take care of this house when when everybody else on the block is just building bigger and bigger houses with, you know, windows, because they all want to see the lake and the Capitol. So hope that's helpful. Is there any questions for me?
Does anyone have any questions for the applicant at this point? Seeing none, thank you. If we have any questions during our discussion, we will come back to you. Okay, I am looking either for a discussion or a motion.
I think, sorry, Jacob.
I'm happy to go second.
All I wanted to say is that I think that I appreciate the photo montage and showing kind of the transformation of the facade. I think the owner makes a good case regarding the preservation of the building, and then sort of the idea of what should be considered the front versus the backyard. Within the commission, we've had other properties that are face the lake, but they're actually right on the lake. There's not that street. So I understand sort of the context of the street facing. So it's hard for me to recognize the current rule in place and see that from my perspective, it is in line with the language of the architectural style. So it's a little bit of a difficult decision.
Are you? No, I just had a couple of comments. First off, I understand the proposal of showing how other motorhomes have different window configurations, and the international style itself has a variety of applications. In looking at the application and looking at the Secretary of the Interior standards, though, the house is landmarked in this configuration. And to me, I think that's a significant item. And while I certainly appreciate the owner's desire to make it, I guess, more valuable house in terms of wanting somebody to preserve it, to me, that is a bit of a optimistic hope. I think there's still the possibility. I don't know that extra windows alone are going to be enough to save this house. And they might be enough to make the house different enough that it's really not the same house that was landmarked originally. I noted that the sliders of the garage are different, but they were put in before it was landmarked. So, you know, even that would have been a problem, but it was done before it was landmarked. I do think, while it might be difficult, the building probably has some water infiltration issues with the original windows and maybe the roof, which is causing the deterioration of the panels. I don't know that adding windows is necessarily going to fix that. So to me, the argument is to make it, is to not really fix the problem with the deteriorating panels, is to change the overall configuration and look of the house to a degree that I think it makes it a different house. And so to me, this is not, I think, meeting the Secretary of Interior standards.
To clarify a couple of things that I think came up. First, since this is landmarked, just because you sell it to another person doesn't mean it will be torn down. It then has to come to Landmarks in order to get the demo permit. So the fear of someone buying this and coming in and tearing it down, of course, is very dependent on who is on Landmarks at that point. But we do not typically provide demo permits for resources that are already listed. Additionally, not ensuring that a property is going to last can be thought of as anticipatory demolition, and that is protected, I believe, under our current ordinance. So by not fixing things that are causing the house to potentially fall in on itself is also against the ordinance. Just right, Heather? I'm not making that up. We did add anticipatory demolition in our ordinance when we updated it.
Demolition by neglect.
Thank you. That's the other slash better phrase for it. So just want to note that here in this meeting. Maurice, you had your hand up.
Yeah. what don't we like about this now? It looks good to me. Sounds to me like these windows are 87 years old. I've said it many times that as long as the structure is still standing, the story can still be told. If you have an owner who actually wants to put the money in keeping this house up, I won't have a problem with them having extra windows to see the Capitol or the lake or whatever they want to see if they're going to keep the property looking good and in good order and good condition. Sounds like it's a rental property, and I don't know. I like it. I'm with it. I'm going to go if anybody else is with it.
To clarify, Heather, this is just for the addition of the new windows, not replacing the current windows, correct? Or correct. Is this all together? Thank you.
Now, this project has come before the Landmarks Commission before, actually when Amy Scanlon was the preservation planner, to do replacement of the windows because they are deteriorated beyond repair and they've gone through all the stuff related to evaluating the windows. So as part of rehabbing the building, the windows, at least some of them, are likely going to be replaced. We haven't brought that to the commission because it's been previously approved and all of that material is still there and it still meets our standards for the windows that would need to be replaced. But this isn't about repair and or replacement of any of these windows. This proposal right here is strictly about, as part of the rehab that the owner is talking about doing, are they also going to introduce these three windows? So this was part of the proposal that I could not administratively approve. So this is the part that is coming to the commission is, do we introduce three new windows as part of the rehab of this building?
So Heather, is the three new windows, this is on the back side of the house that's facing the lake, but technically the front.
It is the front. So the way this property is, so there's South Shore Drive is in front of the house, but then on the other side of South Shore Drive is the lake. So most lakefront properties, their backyard is what goes out onto the lake. And so people go out into their backyard and enjoy the lake. This particular stretch of road, the lakefront properties, the front of the house faces out towards the lake. So it is the front of the house.
Molly, I think you had your...
It looks visibly pleasing to me. I mean, who else are going to fix it?
Well, I mean, we can't, I'm going to say we shouldn't try to get into a quid pro quo of, well, this person will do right by the building, therefore we should allow them to do things that don't meet the standards. I will say in the analysis in the staff report and talking about the alteration that they're talking about doing, it is keeping with the architectural style, and Edna brought that up as well. So as an alteration, if this were on the back of the building, if it were on the sides of the building, then this would be a yes. But on the front of the building, we have a wealth of precedent. And then in terms of the way the Secretary of the Interior Standards works, the alterations to the primary facade, the front facade of a building, is where you try to keep it as close to original as possible. So introducing these three windows on the front, we do not have precedent for such a thing. So if the Landmarks Commission decides to go in that direction, you need to provide a particular finding that talks about this property being a unique situation. And you've already talked through some of the details about how you would make such a finding. But if we move in that direction, then you need to have a firm finding for why this is an exception to our previous precedent for landmark properties, and also in terms of compliance with Secretary of the Interior Standard Number 3.
For them to add two additional windows to a property?
Three windows to the front, because we have to abide by the standards of approval. And if we are doing an approval that is contrary to that standard, if we don't have a solid basis for making that, then it gets into the realm of what legally is called arbitrary and capricious, and that is a problem.
Put the standard back up for me. Let me read it again, and I'll let Rich talk.
Rich, I think you had your hands up next.
Yeah, this is a tough one for me. And Heather and Katie, would this property have been eligible for the National Register had those windows been added 10 years ago or whatever prior to the nomination, in your opinion?
I'm going to say if it came forward now, that would be hard. Well, particularly for a criterion C argument for architecture, I don't see it making it through the Park Service. Now, in the 90s...
If they were added specifically like they're proposed in the style of what was possible to be purchased originally from the house, from the manufacturer?
So I'm going with in the 90s when it went, because it was listed in the National Register and it was also designated a Madison Landmark. The way the Park Service reviewed stuff was a little bit different then. Changes to the front would have been a little bit more challenging, but I mean, you can see the garage doors had were already replaced with a sliding door at the time that it was designated. So maybe not.
It was a National Register property in the 90s, but a landmark, Madison Landmark.
Also in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
All those designations moved forward at the same time.
Okay. I mean, it's fairly black and white, unfortunately. I mean, it's disappointing to me. And Jacob, I understand, I agree that it's not going to change the value of the house, but it's more for me about doing whatever we can within the standards to encourage people to invest in historic properties. And yes, there's a demolition by neglect, but that doesn't save let's say this owner sells it to somebody that is going to run it to the ground. I mean, there's a point at which the damage is done, or you have somebody in there that's not willing, or just buys it as a rental property, is not willing to put any money into it. And, you know, over a period of time, and yes, we went through this with that other property on Langdon. I mean, you know, if an owner doesn't have the capital and eventually the damage gets, you know, you can fine all you want, but there's a certain point at which so much damage is done that it's not repairable. So I'm in favor of encouraging owners to put as much money as they can into properties like this. And it's frustrating when, you know, and you can understand why they would want, and to Maurice's point, it looks great with the windows. I mean, they could have been there originally, and I think it improves the look. I know that's not what we're voting on. But again, it's a tough one for me.
Holly, you had your hands up.
I think most of what I've been thinking has been said. And I guess I think we have to adhere to the standard. And I think that this doesn't meet the standard. Although all of the other considerations I do find compelling, I don't know that there's a particular reason why in this case we can say that
Can we say that this owner is being unfairly penalized because their lake frontage has a street in front of it? I mean, and normally on the lake, you know, this would be it'd be no problem to put these windows in if this property were a normal, you know, situation in Madison.
But it isn't
like that. That's not true. There's the other property that we talked about that is just off of Willie Street that we talked with them about windows a whole bunch, and that property kind of slowed.
And I mean, I don't know. It's different. I do think having a landmark property, like a landmark property, is different from just any property.
Good point. Yeah.
And the difference isn't just, well, the lake is in my front yard versus the lake being in the backyard. The difference is also the front. I mean, there's a difference between a front yard and a backyard, whether or not the lake is there. So people walking down the street or running down the street or driving down the street, it's not just this is where the lake is, but it's also this is where the public right of way is. So but I also appreciate the that we don't want to incentivize
disincentivize people
disincentivize,
from buying historic homes or homes in historic neighborhoods because of the fear of something like this.
Yeah. You're muted, Jacob.
Thank you. Can you hear me now? I was going to say one more thing, and that the building is not in a landmark district. This building was specifically landmarked. Somebody went out of the way to landmark the building as it is, for better or for worse. And I do agree that the windows don't make it less attractive. I think they certainly make it more functional. But if the intention of the landmark was to preserve a building in a certain state as it was as a representation, then this is too significant a change because it is the front of the house and it gets a lot of people to go in front of it. People will notice it. And I'm also worried a little bit about setting a precedent for making an exception.
Yeah, no, that scares me.
That somebody else in another house will want to add windows and will then refer to this. And as Heather pointed out, if it were in the back, you know, it's a different criteria and a different story. And besides criteria 3, I think it also doesn't meet criteria 9. And that you're putting replica pieces onto the building. So I do appreciate that it's on a purely aesthetic level, it's not ruining the house at all. But the act of landmarking the house was an intentional act. And I think we're here to preserve that that intentional act. And with that, I will make a motion to deny the application based on the standards of interiors 3 and 9.
I'll second it.
What put this to a vote? Just because it seems as though we have some differences of opinion. So I will go to you, Rich, first.
Reluctantly, yes.
Jacob?
Yes.
Edna?
Yes.
Molly?
Yes.
And Maurice?
No.
Okay, Maurice. I didn't miss anyone, did I? Then the Landmark Commission has denied the motion for the additional windows. I would recommend working with Heather to continue working with Heather for replacement of windows.
Yes, that's correct.
Excellent. Thank you.
Am I allowed to speak or?
Heather.
I mean, technically speaking, if this were a long meeting, I would, per the rules, no, but it's a relatively short agenda. I would say that we have room for discussion.
Sure. At the end of the day, it's a rental property, so I can't say very much. I can only say what I got back from feedback from the real estate agents. I will say a possible thing in the future to maybe consider is to donate this house to the actual university. The only other house that is a motorhome that I believe is on the National Historic Register is the Winslow Holmes House, and that is part of the University of Connecticut. And I want you guys to really believe I did not buy this house with this idea that it should be destructed. It is actually a very functional house. I chose this house to keep over the house next door to it, which I remodeled. I don't believe anybody who would buy it would need to do very much because it's four bedrooms. It has beautiful windows. The only windows that are really lacking are in the master bedroom. There's three bedrooms that have windows, but the master bedroom windows don't really even face the lake. They face the road. And I'm not saying that you should change that, but I think that that's something that we should discuss long term for this house and keeping it. And Heather knows I've been working on it 20 years. So one thing I'm offended by is that we haven't been spending money on it. We haven't been trying to. Heather knows that we've come to the city and said, what should we do about the panels? What should we do about the windows? Because I would have spent money on it. I spent so much money not doing stuff to the house. And it worries me. The panels really worry me. Anyways, I just wanted to say that if that's a possibility to in the future at some point donate it to the university, that might be the thing that makes everybody happy with this house. Otherwise, I thought if I put windows on it, yeah, somebody's going to buy this house. I mean, it's got great windows. The Eggemans clearly knew where they wanted the windows. I just think at that time in the 1920s, you didn't put windows in your bedrooms. I think that's the only reason that they chose not to put windows up on the, in their bedroom like they did, because it's clearly the master bedroom. Okay, so I send my piece.
Thank you,
Thank
Cindy.
you. Okay, moving on to agenda item number four, the review of National Register of Historic Places nomination for the Gay Building. Heather.
Okay, so I don't have a PowerPoint to go along with this. Hopefully, everyone has taken the time to read through the nomination. This is a very significant property, and I'm super excited that it's moving forward for National Register designation. This is part of a preservation tax credit project, and so look in the future for great things to be happening here. And for all with our discussion of the previous project, this is a great example of folks reinvesting in a historic property and revitalizing it for new and ongoing uses. Now, with that, as part of this process, so we are not an approving entity. We are providing our comments to the Wisconsin State Preservation Review Board that will be reviewing this nomination. In the staff report, I said likely the May meeting. The author of the nomination let me know that actually this is going to be going at the end of February. So if you would like to virtually or in person attend the state review board to see them review this nomination, that will be happening. At the end of February. I want to say it's February 21st, but don't quote me on that. Go look it up. Or ask me and I can find it for you. But this, we are tasked as a certified local government to provide comments to the state review board that those comments are then as part of their consideration. And then they're passed on to the Park Service and they stay permanently with the file that again goes on file with the National Archives. So we are supposed to substantively review the nomination and provide any comments on the draft nomination. Do we agree with the area of significance? Do we agree with the period of significance? Do we think there's any critical missing information? I will say I did reach out for to the archivist with Potter Lawson to say, hey, do you have any records of this? And the answer was yes, but it would take them a little bit to pull them up because they're so incredibly old and they're not part of their sort of standard stuff. But once I have that, I will send that on to the state so that it can be included as part of the record. But does the Landmarks Commission have any comments that you would like me to compile? And then we will compile those comments and send them on to the state.
To see that this ended up getting nominated and not, probably can't say thanks for not demolishing this as part of the local history center, right? Probably not the thing to
I wouldn't
set
recommend
best.
that, but yeah.
But yeah, I think happy to see that it's moving forward with a National Register nomination. I think that's good representative of local history here in Madison, particularly with its influence on the height restrictions in Madison, whether you like those or not.
I thought that was really interesting. Its context with the tall buildings and the fight of zoning, really kind of on a basic level. The only comment I had, which is fairly minor, is under the applicable National Register criteria, A is checked properties associated with events that have made a significant contribution to the broad patterns of our history, which I assume talks about the zoning and the heights. If I don't know if it's possible or applicable to have C, property and bodies of distinctive characteristics of a type, period, or method of construction. And I mean, it is exhibiting the type and of architecture and style of that period. So whether or not they wanted to check that or not is the only very minor comment I had.
We can put that into our comments. A lot of the times, well, the general guidance from the Park Service is that all a property needs to be designated in the National Register is to meet the criteria for one area of significance, that you don't have to go through everything and literally check all the boxes. So you make your most solid argument under a particular criterion and move forward with that. That doesn't mean that you can't make arguments in other areas of significance. But it seems like with this one, they decided that the strongest argument was under criterion A. And I think that might be in part due to the storefront changes, although that is where we tend to see changes on buildings, is in the storefront area. A lot of the rest of the building still retains its character-defining features from the period of significance, but that storefront has changed a good bit over time.
Yeah, I could certainly appreciate that. And it is not a criticism or of a detraction to the nomination at all.
Thing that they'd like to add.
No, I think it's a very thorough nomination. I appreciate it.
All right, then that's all I need. I will compile together the comments and it will go through its bureaucratic process and become part of the record. Thank you.
Next agenda item number five, Secretary Heather.
So, statement of interest, we do have two commissioners who are on the naughty list. Hopefully, yeah, I see guilty faces. Hopefully you are able to take the time to complete that so you can be a member in good standing, because we really appreciate every single one of you continuing to serve on the Landmarks Commission. So if you are having any difficulties, please feel free to reach out and we will see what we can do to help you out. And this will be the last reminder of this, because then February is where things get real. Molly.
Is it possible to get confirmation that we like did it right? I submitted mine late, but before today.
Okay. I will send something to Lila and ask if she
Okay.
did indeed receive it.
Okay, yeah.
Last thing, buildings proposed for demolition. We do have two people registered in support available to answer questions. Jason Erdahl. Not sure if you want to jump on and say what buildings you're here for.
That's for the main street.
Thank you. And then Sarah Lynch also registered in support available to answer questions. Thank
That's also for the Main Street project.
you. I will hand it over to Mary Rose then to talk us through our demos.
Okay, we have a long list tonight, so please bear with me. Hopefully I will try to keep everything in one group. They all have the same staff recommendation, but please, at the end, let me know if there's any buildings you would like me to return to. So keep them in mind and take notes if there's something that draws your attention. Okay. We're going to start with 6213 Countryside Lane. This is a single family home constructed in 1940. There is no preservation file or WHS site file, and the staff recommendation is a finding of no known historic value. Next is 6702 Odana Road. This is a commercial building constructed in 1979. There is no preservation file or WHS site file, and the staff recommendation is a finding of no known historic value. This is the property that has the registrants in attendance. This is 345 West Main Street. This is a commercial building constructed, I believe, in the late 1990s. There is no date of construction in the assessor's records because this property was exempt. But based off of the previous demolition dates and the building style, that's staff estimation. There is no preservation file or WHS site file, and the staff finds no known historic value. Next is 5001 Femwright Drive. This is a commercial building constructed in 1987. Also, no preservation file or WHS site file, and the staff recommendation is a finding of no known historic value. Behind that building is 5005 Femwright Drive. This is a single family home constructed in 1940. There's no preservation file or WHS site file, and the staff finding is also no known historic value. And next door to that is 5013 Femwright Drive. This is a single family home constructed in 1955. No preservation file or WHS site file, and a staff finding of no known historic value. Moving on to East Washington Avenue, there is a 3222. This is a single family home constructed in 1923. This is the only property tonight that did have a preservation file. It was a minimal single page historic survey from the 80s, which stated that it was a vernacular craftsman with clapboard siding. The WHS site file contains similar information. The structure does appear to be mostly intact, but there's no additional information on the history of the property or the builder. So the staff recommends a finding of no known historic value. 3230 East Washington Avenue. This is a single family home constructed in 1926. No preservation file or WHS site file, and a finding of no known historic value. 3238 East Washington Avenue. This is a single family home, but according to the application, but the assessor's file had it noted as a commercial property. It was constructed in 1923, and there's no preservation file or WHS site file. And the staff finding is no known historic value. 3361 East Washington Avenue. This is a commercial building constructed in 1962 with no preservation file or WHS site file, and a finding of no known historic value. Adjacent to that is commercial building constructed in 1969 at 3365 East Washington Avenue. Also, no preservation file or WHS site file, and a finding of no known historic value. And then 3371 East Washington Avenue, commercial building constructed in 1962, also no preservation file or WHS site file, and a finding of no known historic value. And 3375 East Washington Avenue, commercial building constructed in 1954, additions in 1968 and 1969, no preservation file or WHS site file, and a finding of no known historic value. And adjacent to that on Fair Oaks is 922 North Fair Oaks, which is a single family home constructed in 1930, no preservation file or WHS site file, and a finding of no known historic value. and 926 North Fair Oaks Avenue, which is a single family home constructed in 1930 with no preservation file or WHS site file and a finding of no known historic value. In addition to that, 930 North Fair Oaks Avenue, which is a commercial building constructed in 1977 with no preservation file or WHS site file and a finding of no known historic value. And then the last property tonight is 77 Sirloin Strip. This is a commercial building constructed in 1960. This was part of the recent Town of Madison attachment. There's no preservation file or WHS site file, and there's a finding of no known historic value. So that's everything. Please let me know if you'd like me to return to a particular slide. Otherwise, here are the recommendations for your review.
Okay. Anyone have any questions? Otherwise, I'm looking for a motion.
I'll move happy to A. Move. Sorry, Edna, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say I'm happy to move A, but also I wanted to just note for the record that it is very exciting to see how much of the properties we're listing, a variety of, like, the number of new housing units that are going to come online. I think that's so great for the city, and many of them listed affordable housing as well. So happy to move A.
I'll second.
I'm going to assume unanimous consent unless I say otherwise by hands. Seeing none, thank you, everybody. I'm just looking for...
So moved.
Thank you. A motion for adjournment. Sorry, I got a spam call just as you were just saying that. So I'm looking for a second. I'm taking Molly's hand as a second. So thank you, everyone, and have a great rest of your January. See you in February.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.